Coach, thanks for spending some time with us. Good to hang out with you.
Great to be here. Thank you very much.
You miss me? I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah. Going through withdrawals.
You know, I want to play this clip for you that Marty Smith gave us in talking about you.
I don't think you're ever going to have to worry about leadership at Arkansas, because that's a damn leader right there.
When you hear that, what do you think? What comes to mind when he says, you know, that's a damn leader right there. You don't ever have to worry about that. Is that what you want people to think of you?
Well, I think in certain environments, for sure. You know, I don't try to lead anybody that that I'm not in charge of or don't want to be associated with. But I do think our group of guys, where we're at in this Razorback family, to be in a season headed in the right direction, I think we've had good leadership, not just from me, but from our coaches, from our players. One of the things I commonly say within our football family here is this: if a team has to be led by their coaches, by a lot of rules, there's usually not going to be great success. But if a group or a team can be led by the individuals within it, we got something to happen. And I think that's it. If I can influence a core group of guys that know what we want, know how we want to get it done, and can relay it to the players, now we got something.
It seems like you do have something going into year four, and it really starts with that, the leadership from within, the culture. What's different now, year four?
You know, Bo, I've never had the situation I have today where I have basically a senior at every position other than quarterback. And at quarterback, we have Austin, who's been in the program 4 years, just as much as a lot of the seniors. So, but to have a senior lining up in every room who's played significant football, they may not be a two-year All-ACC player or somebody that started 15, 20 games, but a lot of them have played a lot, started a few ball games, and no one understands the expectation of what we have as coaches. But more importantly, what we need to get done to have success in the SEC.
When you look at the way the program was when you got here and the way it is now, how would you describe the difference?
Well, I think it's a positive step in the right direction. I don't really worry about things that happened before I got here. But, you know, to have a GPA now that's over a 3.0, 3.15 in the summer is night and day from where we were. We were at a 918, I believe it was 918 from APR score, and now we're above almost to a 980. Just certain things like that. We've kept our guys, for the most part, out of trouble. Haven't had any issues. Nothing that's going across the bottom of the ticker as we speak. You know, anything to do with violence or you know, just doing things the wrong way. But I really wanted to transcend into winning football games, and we've made steps in the right direction. But you know, eight wins overall aren't going to get you to Atlanta. You got to have eight wins in the SEC alone to get there. So I think that's a step in the right direction.
So a step in the right direction, you're kind of building it. How do you get to the next step?
Well, I think you have to have more guys buying in. You have to have more talent, I think, without a doubt. You know, even just in the last couple of days, we've had a number of players. I think we're at Eric Hawkins, KT Marks, Ray Peavy, and Cornelius Floyd are transferring out. All of those guys are in a position to help us in some capacity, but they just weren't getting as much playing time as they wanted. And with that, they came a transfer, and I think that is I don't want to have transfers, but on the same account, I don't mind transfer, and I basically show that you're moving in the right direction. You know, guys are deeper at their positions than they've ever been. Competition brings the best out of people, and the good ones stay.
How do you feel about that, when people transfer for playing time?
100%. I get it. I understand it. You know, everybody's race is the same. Everybody's window is the same. We all share one common element in this world. That's called time, and how they want to spend it and what they want to do with it is their prerogative. I do think that there are certain guys that get rewarded for staying. You know, look at a guy like Austin Allen. Now, his brother was starting in front of him. But what if, you know, 2 years ago he'd said, well, I'm better than him, I'm going to transfer out. Well, he'd never be the starter going into his junior year. You see a lot of different programs where guys transfer out. 2 years later, they're trying to find a position, a guy at that position that left and is having success somewhere else. So to keep the continuity is a difficult task.
By the way, he seems like as well-prepared as you could to be a first-year starter. You know, I mean, there's something to be said for that. You could have played him a couple of times. Mm-hmm. BA was not 100%. You chose not to. You think, I mean, he hasn't played yet, but do you think just seeing what you've seen, that's paid off?
I do, and I go back to 2 years ago, the Ole Miss game, when his brother gets knocked out with what we thought was maybe a broken rib and internal damage, and that's not just your backup, you know, not just your backup quarterback. It's your brother going in for another brother, and to have him win out that game and to play against a very good football team and manage that game, I think speaks volumes. And to see his numbers this fall, where he's at practice wise, and you know, the other advantage he has, well, too, is he's got a lot of really good players around him. When he's starting now, his first year as a starter, he's got, you know, a Mackey Award finalist, a tight end. He's got several offensive linemen, a group of five wide receivers, and three running backs that are as good as there are. And that doesn't just happen.
I've heard you say a couple of times now in the offseason, I really know my guys. I feel comfortable because I really know my team. What does that mean? What does that get you?
Two things. I physically know them, you know, so I know what they are good at, what they aren't good at, what their strengths are, their weaknesses, kind of what their fleas are, maybe the things that we need to keep them away from. But then emotionally and mentally know, maybe they've been through something, you know, a trigger point, you know, something that can bring them down on the same account, something that can bring them up. Maybe we've lived a scar that came off the field. Maybe they've lost a relative that you've shared a moment with them in your office that's grown you together. Maybe you share a scar, a physical scar. Maybe they've had an ACL or a surgery that you know they endured and persevered and are out there on the field again now, and it makes it a very special place.
You've had great finishes in your career, and at Wisconsin you had great starts. If you go back and look at your record, last mm-hmm. couple of years here, it hasn't been such a fast start. A fast start is a result of what?
Well, I think experience. So the negative experience from last year, I think, could be a positive going into this year. You want to have, an idea of who your team is early on in the year as a play caller, and to have two coordinators returning for their second and third year, respectively, I think goes a long way. And I think that'll carry into the early season for sure.
When I tell you that well, let me ask you like this. Would you be surprised to learn that Rob Smith tackled me at a fourth grade football practice last night?
No, it would not surprise me. He probably has tackled quite a few people that I won't even know about. But he's a very short, angry man that I think next week when we get to game day will be a big relief for him and his family.
Do you think Rob takes every tackle personally?
He does. I asked him. He shared with me earlier that he tackled you, and I asked if it was a wrap and roll or a press to hip, and he said it was a press to hip.
Yeah.
He didn't roll you up, too, I hope.
He might be in a little bit better mood right now. Seems like there's a lot of confidence in the defense. Nobody's taking anything for granted.
No.
But it seems like there's a better feeling about where you are on that side of the ball.
Again, I go back to, I think he knows his team. I think he's been here 3 years. He knows how to utilize certain guys' skills. He knows what they're good at, what they may not be good at. Have added some young players that I think can bring some nuances, pass rush, pass coverage, some linebackers in the middle. And I tell you what, I think him and Paul Rhodes have hit it off very well. I think the chemistry and the rapport that's in that room beyond the game of football is pretty good.
Offensive line, everybody talks about it. They point at that as the biggest thing, the biggest question going into the season. That's the deal. You've always had a good offensive line. You've always had a 1,000-yard rusher since you've been a head coach. What's the key to getting those guys where you need them to be, when you need them to be?
I think it's just keep doing what you do. Ben Herbert and I have been together a long time. I think it's going on probably close to almost eight years now that he's been the head strength coach. I've been the head coach, and we develop those guys. We bring them along. We recruit them, obviously, but we get a plan. We develop them. You know, people are going to hear this guy by the name of Yelda for Holt. They remember him a year ago from the defense side, but he's a second-year sophomore who no one from outside Arkansas knows anything about. My guess at the end of the year, they might know a lot about him.
Are you going to wear the windbreaker again this year?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of developed into who you are, you know. I did ask him to find one with a little less thermal insulation. To try to stop the dehydration.
Is it hot in there?
You know, on game day, I'm kind of a freak. Our trainers and medical people always get a little freaked out. I don't really sweat on game day. And my body just kind of goes into this little catatonic, just little, I don't know how to describe it. My shirt will be dry at the end of the day.
Really?
But I'll wear that same top Tuesday out of practice, and I'll be sweating, pretty profusely. So it's just a game day thing.
Do you get butterflies on game day?
I don't know. I don't think butterflies. No. I think I have an experience of, all right, what are we doing? How are we doing it? One of the great pieces of advice I got when I was a play caller, when I became a play caller on defense, Barry Alvarez said, stay ahead of the game. You know, no matter where you're at, stay ahead of the game. And what that meant was just being able to forecast what you would do if the next opportunity came. And as a play caller, that you have certain things. As a head coach now, I've had that offense, defense, and special teams just – trying to stay ahead of the game, make them understand, a little bit of what's happened in the past could happen again, but also what has happened in the past we need to change, and that brings about good things.
Well, good luck to you this season. And I know tomorrow at Razorback Stadium, you guys are doing a Baton Rouge relief effort, northeast yeah. side of the parking lot, 10 to 4. I know that's something that's important.
Football will be
to
there
you.
1 to 2. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Football players and my staff will be there 1 to 2, and we're going to donate. They want bottled water, they want children's clothing and school supplies. I don't have any children, and I don't have any school supplies. We're going to bring some water.
There you go.
but our players will be involved. I think it'll be a great outreach.
Coach, good luck, man. Thanks so much, and continued success to you.
Thanks, Bo. Woo-pig.